Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a video and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Today, I'm privileged to welcome a very, very accomplished entrepreneur and author from Dubai, Meher Mirchandani. Meher, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Meher is the managing director of the Parmon Group. She's the director of Manre Logistics Fund. She's an author of a book called Come Alive, and I'm always very partial to authors. She's an entrepreneur, author, and a coach. So Meher, tell me, what would you say are three key milestones in your life or your career?
So in my career, it would be starting, co-founding Meher and Ridhima, my fashion brand, mm-hmm. with my best friend, my childhood best friend, mm-hmm. Ridhima Wahabi. Mm-hmm. The second would be co-founding Manre Logistics Fund, okay. 3 years ago with my brother, mm-hmm. and my father. And the third is writing the book, Come Alive. And what I would say is my life's milestone is discovering the importance of self-love. Wow. And self-compassion.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So, I guess that's in your book, so we'll talk about that.
Yes.
Okay, terrific. So let's first talk about your business, your Parmon Group and the Manre Logistics. Tell me about the kind of work you do in these two different entities.
So at the moment, they are very much similar and combined, the work that I do for them.
Okay.
But my passion is empowering leaders. Mm-hmm. I love to grow leaders. I love to grow people. Mm-hmm. That is my passion. Mm-hmm. And as the managing director of Parmon Group, it fits ideally in my role, mm-hmm. because it's when you grow the people, can you actually grow a company?
Okay.
And I enjoy every bit of it. I work on the people so they can work in the company for us to grow the vision. Sure. And of course, I contribute to the overall strategy of the company and its growth. Mm-hmm. And I also define the value and the vision and the direction of the company.
Interesting. So, you know, when I was reading about you, you said, and you just also mentioned that you are building a culture that empowers leaders to be their best. What goes into building such a culture?
It's when you lead with your heart. Mm-hmm. And that is rare, but it's extremely powerful.
Okay.
And it can only be done when you are connected to yourself. Mm-hmm. And I lead with my heart, mm-hmm. and I have success stories to share with my team and with viewers of how, when I value relationship over transaction, mm-hmm. I always have a win.
Amazing.
Because we are thinking beyond the financial success then. Right. It's about building and maintaining the relationship with our stakeholder. Mm-hmm. And that's what's the essence and the journey. And that's what's important. And that's when you enjoy the entire journey with your stakeholder, with your team members. It's about the humanity and the consciousness of doing business together.
Interesting. So can you give me an example of when you did something like this?
So I have so many examples. Terminating premature contracts, mm-hmm. to renewing agreements and, you know, renewing a lot of other agreements to sustain, mm-hmm. our stakeholders. So an example which I am proud of and, mm-hmm. I will share is we had an agreement with one of our financial partners, mm-hmm. and the agreement was for a year. Mm-hmm. And if there was no break clause, there was no termination in the clause, mm-hmm. and they, of course, this was after 6 months of the agreement. We wanted to break the agreement, not because of a dispute, but because of the services they were providing. It was not meeting the needs that we wanted after the 6 months, mm-hmm. and hence I wanted to terminate it, mm-hmm. Prematurely. They, of course, refused to it. Being a financial institution, they refused to it, and they sent us a bill of about 200,000 dirhams, saying that this is the remaining of the contract, and since you want to terminate it, you will have to pay up, mm-hmm. because that's the agreement. And with my heart and with all the love in my heart, I, mm-hmm. wrote to them that this is not about a conflict. It is, mm-hmm. about just that we are unable to continue this due to our change in needs. It's nothing personal. It's nothing to do with anything else. And I value our relationship more than I value this contract. Mm-hmm. And if you don't think it is fair, then of course I understand, but I would really humbly request you to consider this. And of course, we have a long relationship, which we will maintain in the future, besides the contract being there or not being there. That's irrelevant.
Right.
And after 3 days, they came back to us, charging us only the cancellation fee of 25,000 dirhams.
Wow.
So that's one of the wins I did when I heard and led with my heart. So it's all about conscious leadership for me.
Very interesting. And, you know, when I was reading about you, you say that you are an empathetic leader and a source of inspiration. Give me an example where you have demonstrated empathy and this inspiration for your colleagues.
So leading with the heart comes with empathy. That is my highest value when I am in the company and I lead my team. It's the ability to understand from another's perspective and the ability to be softer and believe that there is another perspective and not trying to dominate or dictate your terms on your teammates or your stakeholders. And that's what I do every single day. I think that's the most used value that I hold in the company. It's from, you know, it's from something simple as working from home, you know, if they're unwell, to flying out for an emergency, or to even going with my team to renew a contract because a tenant has not paid. You know, when I meet people where they are, and on a soul level rather than a, you know, a position level,
correct,
it always works.
Very interesting. And this works, you're saying, with clients, with suppliers, and with your colleagues?
Yes, absolutely. And I have examples for all of it.
Okay. You want to share any?
So there was another one that my property head was unable to crack one of my tenants, and he refused to pay due to a simple argument and something. And so I went with all honesty and obviously explaining our culture, our value system, apologizing for any miscommunication or misunderstanding there may have been from our side and our team. And he was very impressed. He was impressed at my honesty. And he actually decided to pay the next day, and we managed to retain him. This is a month ago.
Wow. Wow. That's quite amazing. But when, you know, I've also spoken to many people who say when they lead from their heart, they also are let down very often. Does that happen to you?
So there is a glitch in this. You have to believe in it before you can do it.
Okay.
So I believe in what I do because I also lead my life with my heart. I'm in love with myself. I'm soft on myself. So it's all about the belief system. And that's why I usually accompany my team members till they get there. Because when I explain to them, they do understand, they agree, but I know they might not be there yet with their personal journey.
Okay.
And hence, I'm like, you know what, let me join you and we'll do it together. And it works.
Wonderful. That's quite amazing. So let's move on. Again, to use one of your quotes, success is something you attract by the person you become. Explain this to me. I mean, it's so fascinating, you know, to hear such amazing things from you.
So it's when you holistically grow yourself. It's not the person, but basically it's not the position, but the person you grow. So I grow myself as a leader. I don't grow as a managing director.
Okay.
When I grow as a human. I evolve. I learn. I keep learning things. So I evolve as a human. So I perform better in every role I play.
Wow.
And that's what I expect from my team. That's what I inspire my team to do. And I push them to do that because it's really not about the position. It's about how you evolve.
Okay.
Success is something you attract by the person you become, because who you become will always supersede your position, your title, or wherever you are in life.
Interesting. And the person you become is a function of the experiences you have.
Yes. And the learnings you take on. Like I like being an EO, YPO, we do a lot of learning on ourselves. So, you know, that helps the brain to rewire. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you know better, you can do better.
Correct.
Knowledge is everything in life.
Mm. But what happens if these experiences that lead you to success are a series of negatives?
So negatives are never negatives. Okay. They're actually learnings. They are messages.
Okay.
And they come to you for a reason. Mm. And that is the reason we need to identify.
Mm.
And if there is a series, that means there's a pattern. There's something you're not seeing. You're not seeing a lesson you need to learn at a particular time. And if you don't see that, you will be hit by the same kind of, I would say, learnings or negative events, if people want to say that.
Yeah.
They will be hit by that.
Amazing.
Well, regularly until you don't get it. Like, you have to get it. That's the message of the universe.
Very nice. Very nice. I mean, you know, talking to you is such an amazing kind of eye-opener for me. So Meher, let's again continue. You know, you run a big business. And I love your philosophy. But what do you look for when you're hiring new people? How do you ensure that they also adapt to the philosophy you follow?
So I believe attitude is everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I look for attitude, drive, and energy. Okay. I feel that you can feel a person's energy before you can actually feel them.
Okay.
So when I walk into a room, my energy says much more than what I can say with my words. And that's what I look for.
Okay. And, you know, this is across whatever level of people you're hiring.
Absolutely.
Amazing. And one more question for you before I move to the next segment. This is the world of millennials and the Gen Zs. How are they changing the way you do your thinking? Or are they also adapting to a similar kind of thought process?
So I feel they are very much geared towards the digitalization.
Mm-hmm.
They want everything on the click of a button,
mm-hmm.
which is actually for us adaptability.
Okay.
The ability to adapt in this situation, in this year, in this world is very important. And I have my, though I have my personal reservations, I don't let it affect me. I'm actually being able to educate myself and go beyond my comfort zone to digitalize
mm-hmm.
the experiences that my customers or my team may have. So at the moment, I'm actually implementing an HR app
mm-hmm.
and a tenant management app where tenants can go in and actually register their complaints. And, you know, it's a seamless experience for both of them, for both my stakeholders. It's a seamless experience. And I believe the millennials and the Gen Z can actually make us integrate all of this and move us higher and faster to where we are meant to go.
Incredible. So now let's move on. Let's talk about your book, Come Alive. You know, and you have the book right next to you on the screen as well. Tell me about this book. I know, both sides. Tell me about this book and what led you to write this book.
So what led me to write this book is my personal journey of transformation.
Mm-hmm.
It's the story I speak about from being a victim to being a victor.
Mm-hmm.
Though in a privileged home with a lot of responsibilities and a beautiful life,
mm-hmm.
I did feel like a victim of my situations and my circumstances.
Okay.
But my ability to see beyond mm-hmm. and what we just spoke about, everything is a learning.
Mm-hmm.
The awareness that I gathered and how I actually come out as a victor is what I actually depict in this book.
Okay.
And this book is not only based on my life, but it's about all the learnings that I gathered along my journey and my transformation and how I started falling in love with myself and how I saw the glass as half full and not half empty, and how I gathered the courage, the faith to be able to live a life limitless.
You know, talking to you, I find it very difficult to comprehend that you could have been felt like a victim. But would you like to talk a little more about that journey from a victim to a victor?
So I believe we are a victim of nothing but our own selves and our own thinking.
Correct.
And that was the case with me.
Mm-hmm.
I expected life to unfold in a particular way.
Mm-hmm.
This has nothing to do with anybody else, but it is the story of my expectations.
Mm-hmm.
I expected my life to be a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Probably how we see it in a Disney movie or a Shah Rukh Khan movie, if I may, your audiences will relate to Shah Rukh Khan.
Mm-hmm.
So we expect our life to usually be that way.
Mm-hmm.
However, what is planned for us is far greater
mm-hmm.
than what we know, and the inability to trust that
mm-hmm.
often drives us to misery.
Okay.
And that's what I did with my life. As soon as I got married very young. I had certain expectations, but I didn't have the ability or the awareness to even walk on the path okay. that I wanted for myself.
Okay.
And when I understood
mm-hmm.
and came aware that all this is happening to better me as a human,
mm-hmm.
that's where the awareness and the transformation started.
Interesting. And, you know, in your book, you talk about your five-phase process to prioritize yourself, love yourself, and come alive. Explain to me this five-stage process, as well as any anecdotes that you may have.
So we have all come to believe that love is something that happens or that you feel when somebody else loves you.
Mm-hmm.
It is the love of another that will complete us.
Okay.
However, that is not true. How can someone fall in love with you if you are not in love with yourself?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the process of self-love. It is loving ourselves for who we are, basically knowing who we are. You cannot be in love with someone you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly like the courtship with another.
Okay.
You have to be in touch, in connection, I mean, connected to the person you are in love with. And it's exactly the same with yourself. You have to be connected to yourself. And how do you connect to yourself?
Mm-hmm.
It is by doing certain exercises like meditation, journaling, knowing yourself better, mm-hmm. identifying self-limiting beliefs, identifying what doesn't work for you,
mm-hmm.
letting go of everything that doesn't serve you. Why would you do something that you're not comfortable with? So once you identify who you are, all of that comes into play. And then we have to be mindful on this journey.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to make sure we chip away everything that we are not
mm-hmm.
to emerge as a lover of ourselves, to emerge as an authentic soul on this journey of evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And by nurturing yourself, accepting yourself, understanding yourself, and being in love with yourself is when you come alive.
Amazing.
And when you come alive, it's like magic.
I agree with you. So tell me, Meher, you know, a lot of the last 1 minute, a lot of the terms that you have used are coaching terms. You're also a coach.
Yes.
What have been some of your learnings as a coach?
So my biggest learning as a coach is that we are all here for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And for evolution, because all the clients that I have leaders, I have high profile leaders as my clients, and we are all struggling with the same feelings
mm-hmm.
of expectations, of, you know, lack of love, of lack of awareness, of connection. It may be in different fronts of our life,
mm-hmm.
but the internal struggle is the same.
Okay.
And that's what the book actually talks about, that how to actually start internalizing what is our journey,
mm-hmm.
finding our purpose, our passion.
Mm.
But all that will happen after you know yourself.
Okay.
So my book is actually the first step to discovering who you are.
Okay.
By falling in love with yourself.
Very nice. And you have, is this book available on Amazon?
Yes, it's available on Amazon India and Amazon Canada, US, Dubai, all the Amazons of the world, let me put it that way.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. So Meher, now let's go to move to the last segment of our conversation, which are some questions for you personally. My first question is that from the place where you are at today, you know, a successful business person, author, coach, and as you look at the amazing things you will do ahead, what does success mean to Meher?
To me, it's my evolution and my contribution.
Okay.
I put success in two buckets. It's how I'm evolving continuously as a person, because I want to become someone who can contribute to the world, who can contribute to fellow humans, and who can contribute to my team and the greater universe.
Okay.
As a whole.
Okay. And a follow-up question to success is, who or what inspires you?
I'm an observer. I'm a seeker. Everything inspires me. Obviously, it's like the conversation with you was inspiring me when we started, when you told me what your journey and how and where you have come and how you have come along. I mean, that's inspiring.
Thank you.
It's just that we have to be aware, and inspiration is all around us.
Very interesting. My next question to you is that if you, Meher, were a role model to millions of children who closely followed you and your life choices, what is the one thing you would change in yourself?
I would start loving myself at an early age. I would also cultivate and implement the message of self-love, self-awareness at a very early age, maybe in the school systems, because that's where we learn everything. That's where we learn that, you know, Bill Gates and Richard Branson is more important than Sadhguru and, you know, probably Joe Dispenza, but which is not true, you know. If we could parallelly run both our lives of accomplishments and of personal growth, I think then we would all be more happier, peaceful beings in this world.
Interesting. So I'm going to ask you this question, because when I was reading about you and this, the phrase love yourself, the dictionary defines a narcissist as someone who loves himself or herself. How is your love yourself any different from someone who's in love with yourself?
So loving ourselves is not selfish. There is a lot of myth about this, and I do believe the earlier generations also perceived self-love as being selfish. But self-love is not selfish.
Okay.
Selfish is doing something for your personal benefit. Whereas self-love elevates you to a different being, to a different level. It is related to your evolution. It is when you nurture, give time and love yourself for who you are as a soul. So it has two very different things, and that's the awareness we need to create. And that's my mission, actually, to create that awareness and defy all the misconceptions regarding self-love, because self-love is not selfish.
Okay, well said. So I've got time for two more questions for you. My next question is on failure. And I've often spoken to you know, a lot of parents in India, South Asia, East Asia. People are never taught it's okay to fail. It's always head of the class, first in class, etc., etc. And that manifests itself in our behavior patterns. Yet we fail all the time. My question to you, Meher, is what have been some of your learnings from some of your mistakes?
So I have been very fortunate that my parents have never pressurized me in any way to not accept failure. So my subconscious programming and belief system has always been able to accept failure.
Okay.
At the same time, I do understand what you are saying, and I do my best to make sure that I don't let this affect my children in school. And me and my husband have this conscious decision that we are okay with the grades they get, as long as they believe in their values. So what I do at my workplace is the same thing I do at home. And we deliver with values at workplace, and we deliver with values at home. And what I ask them is not what they did in math, science, and English. Of course, that is part of their routine, which they like to do. I have twins, 9 years old. But what I ask them is, how did you use your value? Every morning when I drive them to school, I ask them, which value did you use yesterday? Mm-hmm. And if you can elaborate on it. So I'm wanting to give them the education which they probably don't get fully at school, because that's what I think was missing at my time.
Okay.
And I don't believe failure is anything. If wow. you if we don't have setbacks mm-hmm. and learnings, how will we grow further?
Mm.
So I see failures as learnings, right. as challenges, and it's like obstacles your way, but it's like an obstacle course you need to do and go ahead. And that's what it's all about. It's just your mindset that needs to be clear.
Fantastic. Mehir, thank you so much. You know, I've really enjoyed my conversation. I love your points, particularly about negatives. You said negatives are not negatives. They are actually messages. You know, I love the way you commented on value. You value relationships, not transactions. And your underlying message of being in love with yourself is such a powerful message. Thank you so much. And I wish you lots of success.
Thank you. And it's just one more thing to close this, is that the relationship that you have with yourself mm-hmm. will determine the quality of every other relationship in your life. Correct. And hence, self-love is not selfish. It is very, very important to know yourself and to be in love with yourself, because you are limitless. And you are the one which is holding yourself from greatness. So be great, be in love, live life, and be alive.
Oh, nice. Very nice. And what a powerful message to end with. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.